Our gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. "I baptize you with water for repentance," John said. "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we prepare our hearts for the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides. Pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear back what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you in the journey. As you get that ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The sermon series for Advent is called Keeping Hope Alive. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to hope when we get shaken up by life's challenges and difficulties. There seems to be a lot of that going on these days. This past week, our church was shaken up when we learned that Pastor Glenn's son-in-law suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. Pastor Glenn and his family, they're going to need hope as they walk through this difficult journey. The Wagner family is not alone in their need for hope. My family needs hope too. Last week, I found out that my dad has stage 4 kidney failure and will likely need a transplant. This week, I went for a checkup to my dermatologist and they took yet another biopsy for possible skin cancer. I've spoken to so many people who are in need of hope this Advent season. Just in our church alone, there are people dealing with loneliness, depression, job loss, financial strain, marriage struggles, infertility, parenting issues, work challenges, broken relationships, divorce, addiction, mental illness, physical illness, abuse, loss, grief. I bet if I had time to interview everyone here today, everyone listening online, that every single one of you could probably identify at least one area in your life, if not more, where you need hope. Add to this all the people in our world whose lives are being shaken up by wildfires, school shootings, political unrest, international conflict, poverty, injustice, war, terrorism. We need hope. But sometimes it's hard to hold on to hope when we get shaken up by the challenges and difficulties of life. In this Advent season, we're learning how to keep hope alive with the help of 4 key words: watch, turn, see, and dream. Our word for today is turn. We all need hope. The question is, where will we turn for hope? Our scriptures reveal some really good news. We can turn to God for hope at all times, especially hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. Unfortunately, we tend to turn away from God and turn in all the wrong directions for hope. And from our readings today, we learn the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and helping others turn to God. We're going to explore that together. The need for hope is not new. It's a tragic consequence of living in a world that has turned away from God and become broken by sin. Throughout history, God's people have found themselves in situations that seemed hopeless. One analogy that the people of Israel used to describe these hopeless situations is the analogy of a wilderness. We heard that language in our readings. Now, I don't know what comes to mind for you when you hear wilderness, but I do know what came to mind for the people of Israel when they used that word. The Judean wilderness is an area that stretches 20 miles from Jerusalem to the Jordan River down the Dead Sea. This is rough terrain and a difficult environment. The Judean wilderness is hot and dried up. There is little to support life. The people of Israel used the analogy of a wilderness to describe the level of hopelessness that they felt. And I would guess that many of you know what it's like to go through a wilderness season in your life. You might be there right now. Perhaps you've been through rough terrain or been caught in difficult environments. Maybe your situation has gone on so long that your patience dried up, your options dried up, your hope dried up, your faith dried up. The nation of Israel went through some wilderness seasons in their history. Our gospel reading quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah when it speaks of a voice crying out in the wilderness. This is from Isaiah chapter 40. You might remember from God's storyboard that Isaiah was ministering in a wilderness season. As a result of Israel turning away from God, many of their leaders had become corrupt and their nation had grown weak. Injustice, inequality, immorality were widespread, and they were heading towards a time when the nation of Israel would fall to foreign empires and the people would be exiled to foreign lands. Isaiah described this like a wilderness. I mean, the situation seemed hopeless, and the hope of the people had just about dried up. Even their hope in God had dried up. They started to think that maybe God wasn't there, and God didn't care. When John the Baptist came onto the scene, it had been 400 years since there was a true prophet in Israel. And now they were under the occupation of the Roman Empire. Again, it seemed hopeless. Again, people started to think that God wasn't there, that God didn't care. Have any of you ever felt like that? I have. And when we go through hard times, it can seem like God is not there, that God doesn't care. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Both Isaiah and John the Baptist cry out in the wilderness, in the place of hopelessness, with a message of hope. And they tell us we can turn to God for hope at all times, especially the hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. In Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist said, "Repent," which means to change one's mind or to change one's direction. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." His words make me think about a game that we play with our family during the Advent season. To help keep Jesus at the center of Advent, every morning my wife or I will take the baby Jesus from our nativity scene and place him somewhere around the house for our kids to find. And if our kids have trouble finding Jesus, we'll give them little clues by saying hot or cold. Well, the other morning, my son, he was right next to Jesus, but he kept turning in all the wrong directions. And so I'm standing there shouting, "Cold, cold." In other words, turn around. Jesus is right there. And I imagine John sharing the same kind of message. He cries out in the wilderness for all the people who have lost hope, for all the people who think that God is not there or God does not care. And he shouts, cold, cold, turn around. God is right there with you. The prophet Isaiah shared the same message. I'll share a few powerful verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Picking up from verse 9, Isaiah writes, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In verses 28 to 31, he writes, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of heaven and earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Are you getting the picture that Isaiah is painting? God is our eternal, everlasting source of hope. His strength is unfailing, his power unlimited, his wisdom unequaled, his commitment unyielding. And this God of hope is already turning towards us to comfort the hurting, guide the lost, strengthen the weary, empower the weak, lift up the fallen, raise us above our obstacles, and carry us through the challenges and difficulties of life. For all who feel hopeless, for all who think God is not there, God does not care, Isaiah cries out in the wilderness, cold, cold, turn around. God is right there with you. And in case we're tempted to doubt this good news, God sent his son Jesus to show us that it's true. In John 17:6, Jesus explained, he came to show us what our God is really like. And by sending his son, Jesus, our Heavenly Father showed us that we have a God who turns towards us, a God who comes near, a God who's with us, a God who cares, a God who saves, a God who is stronger than sin and death, a God who transforms, and a God who has the power to bring new life from even the most hopeless of situations. In the same way that Isaiah described God as a shepherd, Jesus described himself as a good shepherd who cares for his sheep and knows each one by name, who searches for even one who is lost, who guides, provides, protects, who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep so that we might have hope of eternal life. I get in the picture that God is painting. I like how Nick Vujicic summarizes hope. He says, "Hoping is not seeing the positive side of life. It's knowing that all circumstances are nothing compared to God's faithfulness and power." I love that. We can turn to God for hope at all times, especially hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. The trouble is, we often turn away from God and turn in all the wrong directions for hope. That's kind of our big problem. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. You might remember from God's storyboard, God created human beings out of love and created this beautiful garden where we could live in a close, loving relationship with God and God's people. Had a perfect design. But people turned away from God and tried to live life on our own way. It didn't work out so good. People acted in ways that hurt God, hurt others, hurt themselves. And it was our sin that brought death and destruction into God's good world. And if we're honest, I think all of us could admit that we sin against God's perfect plan and that we contribute to the brokenness in our world. And God could have turned away from us and left us to our own devices. But out of love, God turned toward us. God sent his word to guide us. God sent his son to save us. And on the cross, Jesus takes on the penalty of our wrongs so that everybody who turns to him could have the hope of forgiveness and eternal life. And we begin to experience true hope in our life when we repent. John the Baptist described the process of repentance in Matthew 3. Two steps. First step is we turn away from our sin. He invites us to confess our sin. Confess the ways we've turned away from God. Confess the hurtful actions that we've done or the things that we've left undone. To confess our deep need for God's salvation. Step one. Step two is to turn to Jesus so that he could wash us clean in God's mercy and fill us with the life-giving, life-transforming power of his Holy Spirit. Repentance is the beginning of true hope in our lives. To keep hope alive, however, we need to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. Because humans, we have a tendency to drift. I learned a while back that cars are designed to naturally drift to the right. This function is meant to keep us safe. So if something were to happen, we were to take our hands off the steering wheel, we would drift to the right and not into oncoming traffic. Humans also have a tendency to drift. Unfortunately, a function of our sinful human nature, we drift away from God in the wrong direction, and that can be kind of dangerous. Isaiah saw this happening with the people of Israel. They were turning in all the wrong directions for hope. See if you can relate to any of these. They tried to take matters into their own hands rather than placing their situation in God's hands. They placed their trust in mortal, imperfect people rather than in their eternal, perfect God. They relied on human wisdom rather than divine wisdom. They looked to what culture said would give them hope rather than to God. Many of their idols symbolize the things that we idolize still today. Wealth, strength, status, pleasure, appearance, sexuality, entertainment, achievement. These aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they are lousy substitutes for God. Isaiah makes it crystal clear that there is no one and no thing that can give us hope like God can. In Isaiah 40, 25 to 26, God says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Who created all these? As the creator of all, God is greater than all. He's greater than any person, any nation, any power, and definitely any created thing. There is no one and nothing that can give us hope like God. And the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. Isaiah offers a great biblical example of what this looks like. Leading up to chapter 40, he tells the story of Hezekiah in chapters 36 to 39. Hezekiah was one of the faithful kings in Israel. And we notice some neat features in his life. One, Hezekiah turned to God first when trouble hit. For example, when an enemy army threatened them and mocked their God, first thing Hezekiah did was go to the temple and gather people to pray. When that enemy army sent a defamatory letter, first thing he did was spread the letter out before God in prayer. God protected Israel and defeated their enemy without Hezekiah or his army having to lift a finger. Later on, Hezekiah contracted a terminal illness. And the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, "Hey, you better put your affairs in order because you're going to die soon." And on his bed, Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and turned to God in prayer. And God led Hezekiah to the proper medical care that extended his life for many years. When trouble hit, Hezekiah turned to God first. Where do we turn first when trouble hits? Do we turn to ourself? To Google? To the latest self-help gurus? To alcohol or drugs? To food? To TV? To the internet? To social media? To our credit card? Or do we turn first to God and seek God's help and guidance? Another neat feature of Hezekiah's life is he intentionally turned to God every day. In 2 Kings 18:6, we're told he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. Whether things were going well or bad, Hezekiah turned to God every day. He turned to God's word. He turned to God's people. He turned to God in prayer and worship. As a result, he got to live every day grounded in God's hope. Now, I know it's not always easy to turn to God every day. On a practical note, we're busy. We have full schedules, lots of distractions. It can be hard to turn to God every day. Perhaps that's why Isaiah and John both said, "Prepare the way for the Lord." In ancient times, servants of the king would go ahead of the king and clear out a path for the royal procession. Sometimes we got to clear out some stuff so that God's hope can come into our lives. Because if we don't have time to pray and read the Bible every day, if we don't have time to worship every week, if we don't have time to be in community and in small group, probably need some adjustments. Bill Hybels says, we are too busy not to pray. It's worth our effort to create space for God so that we can live each day, each week, grounded in God's hope. The complexity, however, it's not just practical. It's also spiritual. It takes faith to turn to God on a regular basis. Because when we turn to God, we don't always get immediate results. We don't always get the bigger picture of what God is up to. We don't always get the miracle we ask for. And so sometimes it's hard to keep going and turning to God. But there is one thing we will always get when we turn to God. God. And that is always more than enough. In my morning time with God, I've been reading about Paul in 2 Corinthians. Man, you couldn't get a more sold-out guy for God. He turned to God every single day, and yet even Paul went through hard times in his life. Hunger, danger, setbacks, persecution. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul was reflecting, and he said, you know, I think that God sometimes allows us to go through wilderness seasons so we learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the God who raises the dead. Later on, Paul had a problem, which he called a thorn in his flesh. He asked God 3 times to take that away. Paul did not get the miracle that he asked for. Instead, he got God. And that was more than enough. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul, he started to take pleasure in moments of weakness, need, distress, infirmity, because he saw those as opportunities for God's grace and strength to abound in his life. I heard a neat testimony about this from our COO, Tom Anderson. A while back, Tom felt God leading him to run the Chicago Marathon to help bring clean water and the hope of Jesus to Africa. And Tom trained really hard for the marathon, but at mile 16, he hit a rough patch. It felt like he just wasn't going to be able to go on. First thing Tom did was pray to God and ask for God's help. God did not miraculously transport Tom to the finish line. But in that moment, Tom noticed another runner who looked in worse shape than he was. And so Tom asked the man if he'd like a running partner, and the guy said yes. And Tom noticed the man was carrying a piece of paper and reading something. And it turns out the man's wife had prepared a list of scripture verses that he could read every mile of the marathon. One of those verses was Psalm 33:20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And the two men ran and read and prayed together all the way through the finish line. See, when we turn to God, we always get God. And that's always more than enough. God is able to provide all the help and strength we need for whatever season of life we are in. And just as Isaiah and John pointed other people to the hope of God, Jesus commissions his followers, you and I, to point others to the hope that is found in God alone. In this Advent season, there are so many ways that we can point others to God's hope. We can invite people to join us for worship. We can offer to pray for people who are going through difficult challenges. We can come alongside people who are struggling and give support. We can go out and serve. We can share encouraging scripture verses and maybe better, tell other people about the hope that we've found in Jesus. The good news is we can turn to God for hope at all times, especially hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. And the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. Before we move into our response time, I wanted to share a song with you that's inspired me to keep turning to God and help others turn to God. It was written by a group called The Afters. The name of the song is Lift Me Up. I pray that it would be an inspiration for you as well. Waiting for the sunrise, waiting for the day, waiting for the sign that I'm where you want me to be. You know my heart is heavy and the hurt is deep, but when I feel like giving up, you're reminding me that we all fall down sometimes. When I hit the ground, you lift me up. When I am weak, your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. I know I'm not perfect, I know I've made mistakes, I know that I have let you down, but you love me the same. When I am surrounded, when I lose my way, when I'm falling down, I'm crying out, you are there to lift me up. When I am weak, your arms wrap around me, your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. Yeah, we all fall down sometimes. When I hit the ground, you lift me up when I am weak. Your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. And I invite you now to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then you can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. If you scan the code at the top, you can also fill it out from your phone. I'm going to give you a few moments with God and then close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for being a God who is already turning towards us. And we confess the ways that we have turned away from you and turned in all the wrong directions for hope. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before gone through the process of repentance, I pray that they might make today, that they might make this moment that time for them to turn away from sin and to turn to you for the hope of forgiveness and new life. And God, we have a tendency to drift. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would remind us to keep turning to you, to turn to you first when trouble hits, to turn to you intentionally every single day, that we might live in the center of your hope and be a beacon of hope for all the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.